Good morning, Maranatha, and Merry Christmas, Blessed Christmas. We're almost on Christmas Day. Amen. We just got a few days left until Christmas Day, and we want to thank you for taking time out of the business of this year, the busyness and business of this year, to join us together as we gather around the Word of God this morning in this season that is filled with so many distractions, discouragements, disruptions. It seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong globally all around the world. There are crisis after crisis after crisis. And in our personal lives, we have our own crisis to deal with in your world and my world. But I want to bring you a message today, this Christmas message, just before Christmas Day. Amen. This sermon this morning, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time. Many people are not going to hear this that really need to hear it. And I believe your Christmas is going to be so much better after we have received a word from the Lord, from the Word of the Lord, the Bible. Praise God. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32. Listen to it carefully in just a moment. The name of this sermon is Sealed for Salvation. Never doubt He will get us there. Never doubt He will get us there. Now, this is a Christmas message for the Christian, but I want you to hear it if you're not a Christian, because thank God you can become a Christian when you decide that you want to go to heaven more than you want to go to hell. I know you don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. Some people, I see bumper stickers that say heaven don't want me and hell is afraid I'll take over. No, heaven does want you. That's why God sent His Son to die for you and me. Heaven wants us. He wants us, and gave His Son so that we could go to heaven. And nobody's going to take over in hell. Nobody is going to party hardy in hell with all their friends that will end up there, that they could have made a difference in if they had come to Christ. Amen. One thing, your earthly, your worldly friends, if you end up in hell together today, one thing is sure, what is going to make hell even worse, if it could get any worse, is all of those people that knew that you knew the way to salvation. You were raised in the faith and didn't keep the faith or fell away from the faith. Listen, turned away from the faith. And you could have prayed for them and showed them the way to faith and to salvation. Now, there are many people that are just feel like they're hanging on by their fingertips. Amen. But I want you to know something this Christmas season. If you are a Christian, amen, He is going to get us through this last day time. He's going to get us through the trials and tests of life. He's going to take us through the times of doubt and discouragement if we just simply keep our trust in Him and not in ourselves. We are sealed for salvation. We're not only saved, my brother and my sister, we are sealed until the day of salvation, and we are kept by the power of God. And we are kept by the person of Jesus Christ, who ever lives to do what? To make intercession for us. Hallelujah. Listen, you may be in a situation this Christmas that you are struggling to find the joy, the peace, the fulfillment that this season is supposed to bring to every true child of God. Amen. You may be wavering and shaking in your faith. You may be wonder how long you can hold out and am I going to make it through? Amen. Remember this great truth this morning. The God who saved you has also sealed you. He will keep you. Amen. You may think you can't make it, can't take it, but He will get you there. Amen. Faithfulness to God is very important, but His faithfulness to you is most important. Because, friend of mine, you'll never, I'll never, none of us can ever be faithful to Him unless He is faithful to us. Hallelujah. Keep your trust in Him. It's simply looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. Fighting the good fight of faith involves keeping your faith in the faithfulness of God, in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ today. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter and to us in Luke 22:31-32 this Christmas season. Amen. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you. Now, when he said you, now he's talking to Peter, but when he said you, it's in the plural in the Greek, in the context. It connotates all of you that are following me. This is down to us. This is down to you and me today. Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. Literally in the Greek, it means to shake in a sieve, to shake us, to break us. Listen, friend of mine, to absolutely discourage us, disillusion us in God and in the faith. The shaking is going on. Listen, figuratively, biblically, it means by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow, to where we feel like we can't keep keeping the faith. We can't hold out. Listen to what Jesus said when this overwhelming situation comes upon us. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, which means to turn back. It means to turn from whatever way that you are on, amen, in your thinking, your attitude. Listen, in your focus. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you get the victory, you'll be able to be an encouragement to others. And you will be an example to them that when you went through this trial of your faith, God's faithfulness to you brought you through. Praise God. Amen. I love that psalm. Amen. That God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46:1, it begins. A very present or ever-present help in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. The psalmist has said very, very clearly, amen, that when my heart is overwhelmed. That's what this is addressing. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Hallelujah. He's addressing God. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Help me to trust in you. Once again, the psalmist's trust in God was based on God's faithfulness to help him to trust God. Hallelujah. Listen, when your faith wavers, the devil will tell you your faith has failed. No, it's not failed unless you give up and give in out of discouragement. Amen. And just separate yourself from God. He's not separated because you had went through a winter time or your faith had a struggle with your faith. Amen. He can handle that and He will help you with that. I'm going to tell you, if He sees the intent of your heart is to keep the faith, He will help you with your weak flesh that's going to struggle in that area. Amen. Eventually, you'll give up any confidence in the flesh, but you will renew a more powerful, deeper confidence in His keeping power, not your ability or resolve to keep yourself. For the Bible said that we are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, listen, I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him against that day. Praise God. He's able to keep us. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the person of Christ because He ever lives to do something in our behalf, and that is to make intercession for us. And that's exactly what He's doing here. He sees that Peter's faith is wavering, and Satan wants to destroy him. But He said, I'm interceding for you. Praise God, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when, not if, but when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's what it means when it says, lift up the hands that hang down. It's not lifting their hands up, dear brother and sister. The context of that is different than we may initially view that scripture. Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knee, lest it be turned out of the way. It's like, I'm going to encourage this brother or sister that is having a struggle with their faith. Listen. Let me tell you something today. It's saying in the context, you, he's talking to a person, a Christian, to get the victory so that you can help others to get the victory by first getting it yourself and becoming an example of how to get through these struggles. And it's not by denying that you had a struggle, but openly declaring, I went through a winter time, but God was faithful. But God is faithful. That's what it means. Hey, think it not strange. This fiery trial that has come to try you as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape, hallelujah, that you might be able to bear it. The person of Christ, the power of God through the Holy Spirit, God the Father's commitment to keep what we have committed unto Him against that day. Peter, Simon wants to destroy you, but I prayed for you. And when you lift up the hands that hang down, when your legs are strengthened to where you're able to keep in the race and keep running the race, then strengthen your brethren. Not only by showing them how to walk in victory, but telling them that this victory wasn't something you achieved by yourself. It's something that happened because Jesus did something in your behalf. He prayed for you. He interceded for you, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to see us through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, He is going to see us through. The scripture said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Hallelujah. And it's not that He just intellectually contains the knowledge of who belongs to Him. Oh, yes, there's the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not to remind Him. Amen. It's to remind us that we, our names are already on heaven's rolls while we are running this race here on the earth. Praise God, our names are already written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why the Bible said our conversation is in heaven. Literally, it means our citizenship is there. While living here, wherever you are in the world, whatever city is close to you, or you might be in the city limit, a parish, a county, but your name is now written in the citizenship of the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be very sure that we are being kept by the power of God, and God will see us through. Christ will intercede for us. The Holy Spirit will empower us. And what we couldn't do in ourselves, God will do in our behalf. All because of Jesus. That's what's Christmassy about this message today. Amen. God's faithfulness to keep us. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. It says, "Who God shall confirm unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. That's His faithfulness in His love for us. Listen, you know the thought that came to me when I was reading that passage? It's simply He will get us there. He will take us through, and He will get us there. He'll get us there. Amen. When no one else could get us there. By His own blood, He will get us there. And one day, because He's a faithful God, because He said it, we will stand before Him righteous and pure. For Peter says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. That old saint was, or an old saint was gardening, and a man stopped by him and said, "How are you keeping?" And he says, "I'm not just keeping, I'm kept." Hallelujah. How are you keeping this Christmas season? Amen. How are you doing in your faith? Are you having struggles? Many are. Amen. If you're not, you're the exception and not the general rule of the oppressive circumstances of the last days. But this Christmas season, let me remind you, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth not just knowledge of who you are, but knowing you in a relationship, in an intimacy, in a fellowship. You may feel like that God is 1,000 miles away and that you are totally detached from Him. But the fact is, He is right there, right where you are, right now, keeping a promise through His Son and our Savior. "I'll never, no, never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age." He will see us through, and He, thank God, will get us through. Praise God. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, let me tell you a little story today. True story. A trucker. My stepdad was a truck driver his whole life, so I know something about truckers and the trucking industry. And he had a CB. I remember the CB days. I had one in my car, and my handle was Rocky Raccoon. I know. I know. Where did you get that from? Well, I don't know. Rocky Raccoon. But anyway, nobody else had my handle. But this trucker, back in the day of the CBs, and some of them probably still use them, he was yawning, it said, as he passed through rural North Carolina. Preacher tells the story of a trucker friend on Interstate 95. Only 2 more hours of drive and then a good meal, some TV, a call home, a warm bed. Most days on the road were like that, not quite as glamorous as some country western singers suggest. A brown sedan entered the highway just ahead and began weaving back and forth between lanes, causing the trucker to throw on his brakes, put his rig into a lower gear. At first he thought it was a drunk, but as the trucker came closer, he saw it was an older man, shaking uncontrollably. The trucker was wide awake now. The car swerved violently, whipping its CB antenna like a fishing rod. That's it, thought the trucker, the CB. So he called in, "You, in the brown Chevy, if you can hear me, pull over, pull off the road." Amazingly, the car slowed down and pulled to a stop alongside. The trucker pulled up behind him, jumped out of his cab. The elderly man staggered from his car, fell into the trucker's hands. On a rock on the side of the Interstate 95, the older man poured out his story of months of fear and pain that accompanied the illness of his only daughter. He was returning now from the hospital where she had revealed she had decided to cease any further treatment. In the hospital, each put on a face of stoic strength, but on the road, it had come over him, and suddenly waves of grief and tears had overwhelmed him. The encounter was over less than an hour. Wrenching sobs gave way to serenity, a warm embrace to a new resolve to share pain rather than deny it. The trucker offered a simple prayer and they resumed their journeys. For 50 miles they traveled in tandem, the young trucker using the CB to voice words of encouragement to his new friend. Finally, the older man announced his exit was next. The trucker said farewell and asked if his friend could make it the rest of the way. Suddenly, a third voice could be heard across the airways. "Breaker 19, don't worry. Don't worry, good buddy. Go your way. I'll see him home." Glancing in the rearview mirror, the trucker saw a livestock truck move into the exit lane behind the brown sedan. Oh, friend of mine, we all go through trials. That's why he said, don't think it's strange. Don't think God has forsaken you. Don't think God doesn't still love you. Don't think that your faith has failed or his faithfulness has failed you. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that may come to try you. But God is faithful. Never fear, Christian. God is faithful. He will see us home. He will. Oh, I've been through trials and tests. I know they're not over as long as I live. Day by day, every day that's given me is a new opportunity for Satan to attack me and you and us. But I want to declare unto you something today. God is faithful. Hallelujah. I don't live on a mountaintop, on a pinnacle of praise where nothing gets to me. I go through deep, dark valleys, and I've lived enough years to have God prove His faithfulness to me, the sufficiency of His grace that He promised. Hallelujah. He never promised there would never be trials and tests. In fact, He promised there would be, but He promised when they come, He would intercede for us. He would be with us. the fourth man would be in the fire before we even get thrown into the furnace of affliction. We don't have to look for him to come. He's already there. So not if, but when you go through the waters, they shall not drown thee, they shall not overflow thee. And when you walk through the fire, it shall not kindle upon thee. When it happens, for I am with thee. I want you to know today, God is going to see us home. Hallelujah. When we all, every child of God that simply keeps their trust in him by looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He that began a good work in us, the scriptures declare, shall complete it and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is at work in you, in me, right now, to that glorious end. Hallelujah. The salvation of our soul, where we are no longer in any kind of jeopardy. Hallelujah. Safe in him and safe in the holy city that he's built to keep us in throughout all eternity, age without end. Oh, friend of mine, oh, what a Savior this Christmas season. I want you to rest in the full assurance that God knows who you are, and he knows where you are, and he knows how to deliver the righteous from temptations. We don't know how we're going to get through or how we're going to get out. Amen. But we know the one who promised to take us through. And as the old song, not the old song, the contemporary song from a few years back, that may be all I need to know. Hallelujah. I'm not the greatest scholar of scripture. I'm not the greatest, student of Hebrew and Greek and Chaldee and all the different variations that would give us deeper understanding theologically. Amen. But I know one thing. I know in whom I have believed, as Paul said. Amen. And I'm persuaded. Glory to God. Knowing him has made me fully persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, friend of mine. Oh, friend of mine. This Christmas season, rejoice. Rejoice with unspeakable joy because he has committed himself to us, even to the death of the cross to save us. And how will he not take us through after paying such a price to save us? He now seals us and he asks us only that we keep our trust in him, looking to Jesus. Oh, trials just make me want to set my gaze on him, not on me, not on any circumstance changing immediately, but on him who said to me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. And to ancient Israel, God says it, fear not, fear not. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. For I've inscribed you on the palm of my hand that I forget you not. Can a mother forget her suckling child? Yea, she may violate maternal instinct and love, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. Is God speaking to you today? You say, Brother Bundle, I don't feel his presence. Your emotions are racked and maybe wrecked. The devil is telling you God doesn't love you. He's a liar. God is right there, right now, keeping His promise, His covenant of love to 1,000 generations. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you're without God and without hope in the world. That can change right now. You can change your mind, repent of your sin, and come to Jesus as your Savior. And God will keep you.